Welcome to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Stephen Peterson.
Welcome back to E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. This is episode 85, Margaret Collier, also known as Texas Gal Treasures. What I really enjoyed about this interview was, well, there's a couple things. First off, I put the word out. I'm looking for somebody with some Etsy experience with some success. Most people I talk to in my circles, and I don't want to say nobody is having success, but I've not come across many. And actually, Jason T. Smith hooked us up and connected the two of us, and we were able to sit down and talk. And what I really enjoy about this interview is just Margaret's overall strategy about having, you know, her toe in every water, selling on all channels, enjoying all channels. And I think each channel has something to offer. And if you go all in on one, you risk it becoming a job. Again, you can go get a job. You want to do something you love. And the fact that she still gets to do that, I think, is what's exciting. And it makes me, you know, really makes it enjoyable. And I get excited about somebody who's excited about what they do. So let's get into the podcast. All right, welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. And tonight's guest is somebody different. And I kind of put out the word that I was looking for someone who's had some success with Etsy. And it's not that they only have success with Etsy, and the person that was found is successful in all the channels, but somebody who has had success, and I know this isn't the only person, but in the circles that I travel, I have not found a lot of people dabbling in it. And I wanted to find out more, and I'm interested in it, because I just think that, you know, the really successful e-commerce seller would be looking everywhere. They should be looking everywhere, because as one ebbs, the other one will flow. And so I think you have to take advantage of it. So this person was put together with me by none other than Jason T. Smith, a mutual friend, Margaret Collier. Welcome, Margaret.
Hi, thanks.
I'm really excited to have you on here because, again, I kind of put out the word, and I've asked a lot of people, and in my circles, now my circle's not very big, but not a lot of people really have stayed with Etsy or have had success with it. And I know that's not the only thing that defines you, and I don't want to say that. But you're one that has figured out something, and so I'm interested to talk about that. And you're selling on just about every channel out there with some success, including you have an antique booth, so you really are covering the gamut. But you're into YouTube, and you're into Facebook groups, so you're really pretty spread out. Was it intended to be that way?
Not at all. I first started making YouTube videos when I started reselling. I started making videos because nobody got what I did. And I would watch these people on YouTube, and I just wanted to talk to them. And so I started making videos basically so I could talk about what I was doing, so I could share, because I like to share.
It's not an accountability thing for you. It's really just saying, hey, you know, people are saying, well, how do you do that? So by demonstrating, you're giving that information, right? Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yes. I get really excited about things. And it's one of those, if I don't talk about it, I just, like, I'm going to burst. And people around me, you know, at home, my friends that don't really understand what I was doing, didn't, you know, I got tired of the looks, you know.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that. So you've been selling for a little over 3 years, and you're still excited about it,
oh, yeah.
Which is very cool. Mm-hmm. Because some people, and I think of Scavenger Life when I talk to Jay and Ryan, it basically he's like, you know, selling stuff that's imported from China that you buy in the end cap of Target doesn't excite me, Steve. I mean, that's our personal conversations. I get it. I'm with him. That doesn't excite me. I mean, finding a deal is cool. But you're really working, finding unique and individual items. Do you think that's what keeps it exciting for you?
I do. My husband, when I go out, because garage sales are my favorite place to look, he always tells me, happy hunting. You know, so it's like a big treasure hunt for me every time. It's a lot of fun.
Do you specialize in a particular thing?
I wouldn't say that necessarily. I have my favorites. I love selling men's accessories. So when I find those, that's always exciting.
What's a men's accessory? I'm a man, I should know this, but what would you consider that?
Like cufflinks and tie tacks and collar pins, collar stays, because usually you can pick them up really inexpensively and turn them over for quite a profit.
And would that be an example of an item that could sell across eBay and Etsy?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think about when I looked at Etsy, it seemed to be very specific stores at that time. So it was very specific. So there was a vinyl record store, or there was a necktie store.
Right.
Is it still that way, or has it evolved?
I think it's evolved. There are definitely people that have multiple stores on their on Etsy. And I've tried that. I tried branching off my books. But I never sold a single one when I branched off. And I think that's because one aspect of Etsy is a social aspect. And the more, there's something on Etsy called followers and favorites. And the more of those you have, the more traffic gets driven to your store. So with this new store I set up, it was like I was starting from scratch.
So is it like Instagram meets eBay, kind of, where the two of them are connected, so you don't have to go out or Snapchat or whatever. You don't have to go out and try to build that traffic organically. You build the traffic organically through the platform, and therefore you get it?
Sort of. it can take time. When I first started, I really, you know, in the evenings when my husband and I were watching TV, I would work on that, you know, making sure I could get more followers and more favorites and hearts on my items.
Well, I'm interested to understand how somebody would go about that. So, you know, I'm selling coffee mugs. I'm looking at my coffee mug right here. And so I decide I want to sell coffee mugs. And, you know, where in the past, where I would sell them, depending, I mean, if I'm buying them brand new by the case, Starbucks mugs, they're going to Amazon, right? That's my theory, right? Brand new. They're, you know, travel mugs, city mugs, right? So they're going to Amazon. Old city mugs I would send to eBay. However, now I've gotten quite a collection of them, and I'd like to kind of create a theme. So would you suggest that Etsy, that would be a good approach to take to an Etsy, where I have 100 style mugs and they're all clever and neat, mustache and all different kinds of things? Is that something that would be a business model for Etsy?
Yeah, it could be.
Okay, so how would I go about then creating that? Walk me through the process.
So you would open a store, and I would, if it's only, you know, if you really decide to choose just to sell coffee mugs, then come up with a catchy title and banner for the top of your store. And then once you upload all of your listings, at that point, it's sort of, you know, the luck of if someone going to search for that mug.
Well, I have two questions there.
Okay.
So upload. Now, anybody who's through any old eBayers would say adding a listing to eBay was painful. It's a lot easier now that, you know, you can use, you know, your phone and that kind of thing. And adding a listing to Amazon, I think, is painful in some ways to do it right. So I think both of those examples are pretty tough. How do you add a listing to Etsy relative to those?
Well, it's similar in ways where you create your title. You only get 5 photographs, though, so you have to make them count. And then they give you 12 or 13 tags at the bottom, which are words that you would use for search engine optimization.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much that's it. I mean, you can enter in, you know, what it's made of and things like that, materials.
Can you link it like to – or I guess the search word then says it's like, you know – I don't know, cereal cup or something silly
right.
like that. But it that's what makes them connect. You can't connect it to other things in any way. Oh, your store name, I guess, would be the common thread, and then those keywords would be the next common thread.
Right.
Okay. So those 12 words are pretty important. Do you get to decide what those words are?
You do.
Is there software? Is there hacks? Is there cheats, tricks to putting those 12 in?
Well, what I do is I try to think of things that people would be searching for and then I'll go and I'll look at, you know, other people that are selling something similar and check out their keywords. And if you just put mug, well, that's kind of like wasting one of your tags because, you know, it's going to have mug in the title. I just try to think of what would someone be searching for that this would pop up.
Well, what draws me in that is I interviewed George Lawrence from Merchant Words, and they have a database, a massive database, millions of listings from Amazon, what people were searching for. Right. So I think it would be similar. I think that would be a great tool that could be useful here in a way to enhance the listing. Okay, so we put those 12 in. We now have created this listing. How difficult is it to create 100 listings? I mean, how long would that normally take somebody?
it might take a couple days.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because you got to take 5 pictures. You got to create the wording in the listing itself, describing it, right? That kind
right,
of thing.
Right.
Are they connected to a PayPal type of business or PayPal specific or other shopping cart?
They have an Etsy direct checkout, and they also are connected to PayPal. So the purchaser can choose which way they want to buy it.
Okay, so now walk me through the social side of it. Now, how do I start? Can I attach a blog to it?
Within my description, I'll have, you know, I can say, you know, come check me out. Come check out my blog, and here's the link to it. Or find me on Facebook here, you know.
And they don't block you like in eBay. You're not allowed to send anybody out of the market. And, of course, on Amazon, you're not allowed to send anybody. But Etsy allows that.
Right. I haven't had any problems with it, no.
Okay. And so where does the social aspect come in?
Well, this is where I think a lot of people, when they're struggling with Etsy, when they first get started and say, you know, I haven't had any success, I'm not getting any sales. The social aspect of it is on Etsy, there's something called teams. And within those teams, let's say you want to find a coffee mug team. I'm not sure that exists, but like there's a bunch of teams for vintage items, or if you have if you make digital prints, you know.
Well, give me an example. So would there be one for cameras, or
right,
would it be
okay,
more specific? Would it be Canon cameras? Does it get specific, or is it more generic?
Usually it's a little more generic, yeah.
Okay.
So let's say cameras. So you would go to the cameras team, join the team, and then they have discussions there, and they have games to play where it's – now, in a lot of places I would not encourage, you know, asking people to follow you, but on Etsy it's sort of it draws the traffic to your shop, you know. So when you play these games, you know, a follow for a follow, a favorite for a favorite, you're building up your numbers, and that is what gets more eyes on your shop. But I would never do that on like YouTube or something, some other platform, because it doesn't work the same way.
So it's encouraged here, though. So, you know, I'm interested in that community. And now, can you connect, or have you seen anyone connect to, you know, Instagram or Pinterest or any of those kind of things to draw traffic to Etsy?
Oh, yes, yes.
And I guess in the listing you can actually link out, right? So one of the things I remember when I looked there, they actually tell you the number of sales that someone has,
right,
and how long they've been selling. Do you think – does all that help the algorithm to allow you to get that search to the top of the listings when you search coffee mugs?
Probably. I'm not quite sure though.
Okay. I just wonder if there, again, are hacks – nobody has dissected it as well as they have like Amazon or eBay.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, from what I know, it's when you search, say, mugs, the ones that are the newest listed generally are on top. This is the way it used to be, so I'm not sure if they've changed it, but because there were people that were encouraging sellers to refresh or renew their listings before they are expired, to get them bumped back higher up into the I can't think of the word now.
No, I know what you mean. And that's what they did on eBay. And that's what some people suggest, that that's one way to get around the Cassini search, right?
Right.
Is to have it relist. Does it automatically relist for you? Or is this the one where you put it up for 6 months at a time?
Yeah, it's 4 months. Mm-hmm.
Oh, 4 months. Okay.
Yeah.
So you pay up front, correct?
Right. 20 cents.
And 20 cents. So for 20 cents, you get a listing up for 4 months, whether it sells or not. And then when it sells, how bad do they whack you on the fees?
Oh, no, it's not bad at all. I love it. It's only like 3.5% or something like that.
And then you pay a fee for the cash transaction, I assume, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, these are things that you generally are shipping yourself.
Right.
Now, you can link your Amazon to multi-channel fulfill. I know that. because Brianna Muller Green has told me that there is a way to do all that. And it sounds very complicated, yeah. But there is some software that does. I think it's Seller Engine or Cellebrite. No, Cellebrite. But you're now shipping these things. How difficult can you buy postage through the program?
Yes, it's set up almost like eBay, where you just ship it straight through.
And do you get the postal discounts that you get through eBay, through Etsy?
Yes, I think so. Now that you mentioned that, I'm like, oh, I want
okay. All right, so cool. So it sounds very eBay-ish, but I love the idea that you can create more chatter by being socially. So if you were specializing in vinyl records, for example, I imagine the more you can talk about it out there and you know, talk about groups and you can really gain some traffic there.
Right.
I heard that at one point there was a huge influx of Chinese sellers and Chinese low quality merchandise that infiltrated it. Is it still there? Is it dominant? Is it waning? Are they pushing them out?
I would say it's still there. I mean, it doesn't really affect my area, like the vintage type things, but I know in areas like supplies and tools and things like that it's there. Clothing, maybe.
Now, you sell on Amazon. Well, you know what? Let's take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about, you know, is Etsy a place that you could sell overstock from Amazon? And, you know, are there methods there that might be we can employ for people who are looking for another place outside of eBay for a second market? Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. All right, it's early in 2016. You just came off a slamming fourth quarter 2015. You're sitting on a boatload of cash and you're thinking, I want to do something for my business. I want to grow. Start looking at end foundation. Look at them as building blocks. Build, build, build. Change your categories. Think about gated categories specifically, shoes and clothing. YourSourcedInventory.com, that's what they focus on. You'll get a list every single day of the week, Monday through Friday, and they're going to give you leads for about 10 items that are in the shoes and clothing and even dipping into the sports and outdoor category, which is great. These are all gated categories. Listen to some of these ranks. In October, the average shoe rank was $7,571 for $29 profit, a return of investment of 88%. December, 11,000 ranking, profit of $32, 83% ROI. Think about that. Profit of $32. What's your average selling price? Imagine what your average selling price would jump to. In clothing, ranking in October, $6,800, profit of $1,488. But listen to this, ROI of 109%. What could you do to get that 109% return? You got to join YourSourcedInventory.com. We use it as foundational in our business. We think you should too. YourSourcedInventory.com. Again, what I liked about Margaret was the fact that she's selling in all channels. So we do get into a lot of detail about, you know, Etsy. But again, I was looking for that information. I just wanted to make sure I'm pretty clear about it. It does seem very eBay-like and also very Amazon bundle-like, right? So if you're creating bundles on Amazon, it's just like creating listings on eBay now. It's like creating listings on Etsy. I do love the sound of the social media piece. Very interesting, very exciting. But again, the thing that really I enjoyed about the interview was just her enthusiasm for all that she did. And I think that can get lost. So it's so important. So let's get back into the podcast. All right, we're back and we're talking with Margaret Collier. And Margaret sells on all the channels. Including she does some YouTube work, which I'm interested in hearing about, and then she does some Facebook work too, Facebook group management. So I'm interested in that too. But we're still talking about Etsy because, again, you know, it's awful to say this because and maybe it's just I'm not asking the right people, but you're one of the few people that I've found to be successful. I mean, most people I have talked to that have said, I tried it, I never sold anything, or I sold so little. It wasn't worth the time. Do you think that they give up too early? They aren't putting the effort in. They just say, hey, I'm putting it up there and expect it to sell, where Etsy might take a little more interaction and you have to be a little more patient. What's your feeling?
I do. I feel like if you focus the energy on it, that it will be successful. For example, I tried Bonanza and I didn't focus any attention on there, and it was horrible for me, you know, so I pulled out. But I do think with Etsy, and it's like anything, there's going to be ebbs and flows.
I think it's got to be specific. I mean, I think if you make custom jewelry or you're creative and you do those things, I think the only place, the natural place I would say to somebody to go is Etsy. I mean, logically, that's what I would believe that market. But then, you know, when I heard that they do vintage things, I'm like, huh, that's interesting. Now, you sell items on both eBay and Etsy. Do you feel like one of them you get a higher price than the other, or is it pretty much the same?
Well, here's what I would always say Etsy before. And what I started doing is just matching my prices on both platforms and just putting best offer on eBay. But most of the time, I get the higher price on Etsy still.
Is it because people, I mean, do you have the ability to negotiate on Etsy like you do on eBay?
It's not built in, but I put it in my, you know, welcome to my shop if you would like, you know, send me a message to talk about.
Okay. And so you can accept a lower price.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So my crazy idea before we went to break was to say, okay, what if I'm selling coffee mugs, Starbucks City mugs on Amazon, and now I want to sell them on Etsy? These are, you know, I got a case of them. I sold a bunch of them, but I still have 6 or 8 of them left. Is Etsy a good place to put those kind of products?
No.
Ah, okay. So tell me why.
Well, there are stricter requirements on Etsy as to what can be listed. You know, handmade is pretty, most people know that. But vintage items have to be something from before 1996. So if your mugs are from before there, then yes. Okay. Otherwise, no. But newer things can be listed only if they're considered a supply.
Okay. So explain to me what that would be. So construction paper,
right,
being a supply, or
stamp.
Okay. And so plastic bags, right, or mm-hmm. something like that. So you could sell office supplies. Can you sell office supplies?
Well, I guess you could. I don't know if they specified it has to be a crafting supply, maybe. I'm not sure. It's a good question.
It's interesting. So that's really not a viable solution for somebody unless they're selling collectibles. So if they had collectible items and they were pre-1996, do a lot of collectible items sell? I mean, in your experience, I guess so, because obviously you're having success and that's your category, right? That's common sense. You know, is there a particular category in the collectible area on Etsy that you sell?
Oh, my goodness. I do it all.
Okay. So it's pretty much old stuff, vintage stuff, I guess, right?
Right.
You know, 20 years is what you can sell. It's not, you're not into comic books or vinyl records or anything like that. It's just, you might sell them, but that's not your specialty.
Right, exactly.
It's very cool. And I'm very encouraged to hear that. So if you're coming across this stuff and you're thinking, hey, where's the best place? What would you say to somebody who comes across this vintage stuff? Is it eBay or is it Etsy?
I would say both.
Okay. How difficult are you using software to cross list, or are you just creating both listings at the same time?
I create them myself.
How has it happened where you sold it off of one and you thought you forgot to take it down off the second and then you sold it a second time?
It has.
Okay. And so that's just an uncomfortable.
Rare.
Yeah. So that's part of your process, right? That's what they would say is, you know, build a process. When you put up a listing, you put it on both. When you sell something, you take it down from both.
Immediately.
Almost like a checklist. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that becomes part of your habits. Well, very cool. So you also sell on Amazon. Do you specialize in anything that you sell on Amazon?
No, not at all. It's just if I pick something up while I'm out and about and I think I can get a good price for it on Amazon, I'll send it in.
And do you enjoy the selling on Amazon the same way you enjoy the hunt for treasure that you get? I mean, we kind of answered that already, but still you're selling there. Or is it just because it's a convenience and it's like, hey, I'm walking past it, I might as well pick it up and put it up there?
Yeah, basically.
You're not out going to 38 Walmarts buying that can of soup because it's a good price and hitting all stores within 60 miles. Or some people travel for a week. Actually, I met one guy who traveled for 28 days.
Oh, yeah.
That's not your thing.
No. I did that for one thing this past Christmas. There were these cookie tins that were in the shape of like Santa and snowmen and they were really going well. So I did hit about 6 Walgreens to go pick them up.
Was it the same inspiration for you in any way as it was for, you know, finding that, you know, I'll stay with my Starbucks City mugs from 1982, wherever, Philadelphia, or that first mug from Seattle? Same? Different?
I would say different. I think the whole reason I got caught, I think you're talking about the Christmas thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole reason was that I got caught up in the whole Q4 thing. People start going bananas. And I was like, oh my goodness, I need to take care of this.
I'm missing out, right?
Right.
That's the negative of the Facebook group.
Yeah.
Because it, all of a sudden you start seeing it, you're like, oh my God, I got to go do that. He's saying to do it. Everybody else is saying it. I'm missing out, right? So how is that being one of the administrators of one of these Facebook groups?
Well, this group is fairly new. The one that I'm in have helped start, and there's not a lot of Amazon focus. It's more eBay, Etsy, and fairly. So it seems like some of them are fairly newer sellers.
Is there another option out there beside eBay and Etsy for anything non-Amazon?
Oh, sure. I don't do a whole lot of it. I mean, for clothing, there's Poshmark, and there's something called Mercari. There's Bonanza. But I haven't really dabbled in any of that.
I just heard Mercari used the other day, and I'm like, I never heard of that before. And so you're the third person that's mentioned it. Yeah, Bonanza, I hear that the reason that you do Bonanza is it allows you to automatically move your eBay items over and list for no cost.
Cool.
And then when it sells, it's cheaper. But then I hear that there are challenges where instead it's supposed to take the listing down off of eBay, that there are challenges sometimes. I'm sure it works sometimes, but sometimes it doesn't. So you've not dabbled in all those other channels and to any success?
Yeah, I tried Bonanza a little bit, and it didn't work.
Just wasn't it.
Yeah.
Just wasn't it. So you this new eBay – or excuse me, this new Facebook group, what's the goal of the group?
The goal? Oh, goodness. Just sharing and – I don't know. Question. We try to focus on positivity. We try to focus on getting, I mean, we have challenges every week, and just, you know, building that kind of community where we're sharing our successes and encouraging each other to get things moving, because it's easy to just sit and not get motivated. I guess motivating each other.
Is it a free group?
Oh, yeah.
All right. What's the name? We can put that out there.
It's the International League of Thrifters.
International sounds like mystery.
Oh, yeah.
Of thrifters. And so that is somebody who wants to get better at thrifting or wants to talk to people who have similar interests, right? Because let's face it, if you're going to join that group, you're going to be into finding treasures,
right,
in some way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
It's really motivational. I think mostly is just getting people going and excited about what they're doing.
Have you had any success in it that you said, wow, I didn't think that was going to evolve into that?
The whole group. I mean, yeah, it's just, I mean, the more we've been doing listings, the more positive response we've been getting from people. Yeah, it's just been nice. And I like when people say thank you, you know, and it makes me feel, it's like a paycheck, you know.
Okay.
I mean, it really does make me feel good, and it means a lot to me when somebody finds something I say or the group says and does useful and, motivates them.
Did you mention to me before we went on air that you're in a challenge of some sort?
Oh, yes. We do weekly challenges in the group.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So tell me what that is.
So this week we have the listing challenge is a coffee mug challenge. And basically the other admins – come together and say, what do we have that we need to list? You know, and last week it was plush because I have plush coming out of my ears. And oh my goodness, I have so many coffee mugs. So we decide like what we need to take care of, and we create a challenge, and we ask everybody every day, okay, what's your goal for the day? You know, what are you going to do? And then during lunchtime, I'll usually ask, how's it going today, guys? This is where I'm at with the challenge. And throughout the day, this thread just becomes like this monster. And everybody's back and forth talking to each other. Oh, I got this many photographed, this many listed, you know, and it just goes. And then at the end of the day, it's like, yay, everybody, you know, did you meet your goals? Awesome. Or if not, you know, what are you going to do tomorrow? Let's keep this moving. So,
you know, when you're selling on multiple channels like that, there has to be tricks and tips that you can give to, you know, to keep track of stuff, because, you know, what network, you know, what channel did it sell on? Do I have more of them? Is it listed on another one? What do I do? How do you approach that for when you're selling on at least three channels, maybe four?
Well, generally, everything that I'm selling on Amazon is not in the house because it's
okay.
It's all FBA.
You don't do multi-channel fulfill then?
No.
Okay. You don't want to ship anymore. You had enough to ship,
yes.
Right?
And then the other, I mean, most of the things that I sell on eBay and Etsy are cross-posted, what I can. And then I just keep a spreadsheet, like a Google Doc spreadsheet of what I've got and how much I bought it for. And then when it sells, I create a, you know, weekly spreadsheet for my sales.
Do you don't have an inventory location ID or anything like that?
No, I just have tubs and shelves.
Okay. Well, I just, I'm always interested to look at improving our system because we have a pretty sophisticated system, but I'm sure there are easier systems than mine. So I'm always looking for a tip or trick, but it is difficult to manage. And, you know, our challenge, for example, is we do multi-channel fulfill on Amazon. And so when an item sells, I actually go, our cheat is to go look at the eBay listing and see where it's located, because in the eBay listing, we can actually put an inventory location. And so then it goes to there, and then I take it off that shelf. And even though it exists on an Amazon shelf somewhere, we just keep stealing it from the eBay and figure out eventually we'll worry about it. But it's one of those challenges, you know, because as you scale to a large level and without staff, it can be difficult to manage.
Right.
Okay, so now you don't have enough going on. You decide to get into YouTube. And it sounds to me like you've been doing YouTube for quite a while, but now it seems like it's really become instructional.
Yes. It's been, I guess February was a year. I had my year anniversary with YouTube. So, yeah.
And what's the goal of what you do on YouTube?
Mostly it's a community building. I enjoy the process of sharing what I'm doing and hearing what other people's takes are on what I'm doing. And yeah.
And so give me an example. So you're now going to sell, I don't know, give me something. I was going back to my coffee mugs again. But I mean, something unusual, right?
Napkin holders.
Napkin holders. Are you, that could be interesting,
yes,
right? Because
yes.
They could be in silver, they could be in sets of 4, 8, whatever, right? There are lots of people who still use them, and that would be a natural item to sell on Etsy to me. That would be one I would think of looking on Etsy for. So,
right.
But it would also be an eBay item. So, are you showing examples of what you bought and why you bought them, what makes them attractive to you and that you think that you can get enough value to sell?
Right, yeah. So, you know, I will do like general haul videos, but then I have specific videos on like certain type of objects. Let's say it was napkin holders, and I would share different examples of this, and this is how you look them up, and this is how you find them on the internet if you're looking for information on them, that kind of thing.
Well, because, you know, if you're into yard sales or thrift stores or what have you, you see all these things. You glance past them because you have no perspective, right? You don't have
right.
that knowledge. So you're offering perspective. So when you see them, I see them at a yard sale, boom, those are the ones to get, right? There's got to be something that's common that would tell you that this is attractive or unusual, and so therefore you should buy it, right?
Right, yeah, exactly.
So what's been the reaction? Do you get a lot of activity on a YouTube video?
I do. I get a lot of comments, and most of them are pretty positive. They enjoy my attitude, I guess, and the information I'm sharing. So I get pretty silly sometimes, though.
Well, what interests me is that, you know, as I sit here, and, you know, I mean, most people I interview are serious diehard Amazon sellers, it seems to be. And they are, you know, set to sell and they are growing and they're in this category. Oh, wait, now they're in this category. They're over here. They're in here. Seems to me that you have figured out your why, as Joy Packer would say, is that you just want to make sure that you're enjoying what you do. Has this become a job for you yet, or are you still having fun?
No, I am absolutely still having fun.
Has there been anything in your life? Now, you were a teacher.
I was, yeah.
Is this a little more fun for you than teaching? Although teaching, I'm sure, was fun too. I'm sure it was, especially elementary ed. I'm sure there were highs of that too.
Yeah.
But
I do.
Which do you, what do you get more satisfaction from?
Oh, boy. Like I said, being a teacher was amazing, and there was a lot of satisfaction there. But I do love that I feel like I'm living my life. I'm me again, you know?
Hmm. Did you not become you?
Well, I felt like, you know, everybody knows the education system isn't what it ought to be. And even teaching kindergarten, which is where I was when I left, there was so much pressure, you know, about the testing and are they ready? And I'm like, they're five, you know?
Yeah, they're kids.
Yeah. So I have learned this about myself is that I don't work well under pressure. So I felt like, I mean, it took a while, but I would say after the first year of me quitting teaching, I realized I don't think I could ever go back.
Really? That's interesting to me. That this is more rewarding to – somebody mentioned that, you know, one of the cool things about selling with e-commerce is that instant gratification, really, that when they find something, they put it up and it sells. It's that pat on the back, job well done, right? I mean, it's very rewarding, and it's almost instant. It really is. I mean, because if you put the product up very quickly and it sells, it's like, yes, I knew it, you know?
Right.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
But I think, too, with the YouTube – I'm still getting to teach, and I was a theater major before that, so I'm still getting to use, you know, my silliness and my, you know, I'm still getting that fulfilled for myself.
Have you been able to hit goals, like personal goals, either financial or, I guess, you know, accomplishment goals with your e-commerce business that have like, okay, now we can go on vacation because I can turn it off. I mean, I think the thing about teaching is you can't turn it off even in the summer now. Mm-hmm. I mean, it seems to be, I know they don't work all summer, but the teacher mm-hmm. friends that I have, they work all summer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it never got turned off, it felt like. Yeah. Do you feel like now that you're at that place where you can turn this off and go and really go on vacation, or are you still out there, you know, sweating the business and that kind of thing?
No, I can turn it off anytime. That was one of the positives about this as well, because I consider myself a part-timer, you know, I'm a stay-at-home mm-hmm. mom, and you know, I spend at least one day of the week up at school volunteering, and at least one day of the week with my mom helping her run around. And then the weekends I might do a little bit, but it's mostly family time. So it just works really well for my life and my schedule.
So somebody new, so they're sitting out there and they say, hey, I want to make an extra $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 a month. In the past, what a lot of people have done is steered them into Amazon and steered them in, and then all of a sudden it becomes kind of consuming. And you know, we just have a mutual friend, me and someone else, who left Amazon for that reason, is that it started to affect his life with his family. And his kid would be there and say, hey, Daddy, look at this. And he's like, oh, yeah, right, let me just check this. And he's on his computer because it's so, you know, he was buying from online. He would see a note saying, hey, you got to buy these. He would have to go buy it fast or the deal would be gone. And he gave it up completely, walked away from it because he didn't want to give up his life with his kids. What you're describing, it sounds to me like, is that you can do it around your schedule.
Right.
And so what's your advice to somebody who wants to make an extra $1,000 or $2,000 a month and stay home with their kids? What you know, now that, because you sell it on every channel, right, you're working everywhere, where would you start them?
Oh, I would say eBay. I mean, if they're looking for something a little quicker, I had the luxury of building slowly. And on Etsy, it did take time to build up that kind of sales, I guess, you know.
But it would be eBay. So start on eBay, get going, yeah, start selling. And then would you add Amazon next or Etsy next?
I would add Etsy next because the fees are so low and you can cross-post from what you are already selling on eBay.
Right.
For the
so
most part.
For 20 cents, you might as well put it there. And most of the items that you sell aren't going to be able to be sold on Amazon, correct?
Correct. Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah. So
some people are selling, you know, sending in plush, and I've tried a few coffee mugs. I'm not sure how successful it is, though, so I just don't.
That's not your thing. Yeah. I heard somebody saying that they sell vinyl records on Amazon, too, and FBA, and I'm thinking, really?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and I put that in that warehouse. That just scares me to death,
yeah.
You know, because losing control of that. Well, I admire is the lifestyle. You know, one thing about Jason is his lifestyle drives his business. There is no way he's changing his lifestyle. His business will change, period. And it seems to me that's why you and him are friends, is that you sound very similar, is that your lifestyle is going to come first and the business will come second. Your family would be your lifestyle in your case.
Yeah.
I just love that. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
So what do you think your biggest strength is as an entrepreneur handling multiple, I mean, geez, you're into five things, plus you got kids, plus you have a husband. You know, what's your biggest strength?
I would say my attitude.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's a favorite quote. It's what you focus on expands. And I find if you are dwelling on the negative or dwelling on what's going wrong, then that's just going to keep getting bigger and bigger. But if you're looking at, you know, well, and then my mom was, well, I shouldn't say that, but she always says, oh, stop being such a Pollyanna about things, but I can't help it. If not, you know, you just get in this depression and this, you know, horrible loop of sadness.
Well, how do you get out of that, though? I mean, you must still have days when things don't sell and your sales went to the floor, right? I mean, I'm sure that happens. How do you pull out of that?
Oh, boy. That's a good question. I listen to funny things, silly songs, and watch funny movies, the Marx Brothers, that kind of thing.
And so that pulls you out of it, and then does magically stuff start selling, or is your perspective changed? I mean, is that what happens?
Yeah, okay. It's all about perspective.
Yeah, there's always somebody having it worse. There's always something else that could go wrong. I mean, that's the way I look at it, too.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'll sit and think, oh, look at me. I'm so lucky. I have this bathtub. You know, just I try to make it so absurd, but I think, oh, think of all the people in the world who don't have running water. And, oh, my goodness, I'm so lucky. I have the most comfortable bed in the world, you know.
I Zig Ziglar would call it the attitude of gratitude. I don't disagree with you. How did you get past the fear of walking away from a teaching job that pays well, great benefits, early retirement? You know, how did you get past that, leaving that to go and do what you're doing?
It was really easy. I actually didn't leave to resell. I left to be a stay-at-home mom. My eldest, who is only 8, but he was going into kindergarten, and the opportunity arose. My husband got a new job, and we were able to swing it. And if we had been able to swing it before, I would have stayed home sooner. But the opportunity arose, and I jumped on it. And it just, I mean, the business really just sort of grew up out of nowhere. My husband, I mean, I had some things. My grandmother had passed away. I was working on selling. And then one day, you know, I'm home with my little one, and my husband says, hey, why don't you go out to some garage sales? So it was Saturday. I went out, and I suddenly started seeing things like, oh, wow, I may not want this, but I sure know somebody else would. And I just started picking up. And literally, I started with $38. And I would take my $38 and go buy stuff. When it would sell, I would bank the money, and then I would put $38 back in my little coin purse and go out again, you know.
I love it. I love, I just love the lifestyle. To me, that's what this whole business needs to be, is it's got to be designed around the life that you want. That time with your kids, you're never getting back.
So true. So
never.
True. I mean,
you know, and,
go ahead. Sorry.
No. It's so great to hear, rather than the money, you're chasing that time, and I think that's exactly what life's supposed to be.
And I do catch myself sometimes, like, on a computer, and like, no. You know, we're outside a lot, and Wednesday night is game night, and tonight's Scouts, but Daddy took him to Scouts tonight, you know, and we read our chapter book. I mean, so it's, like you said, you're right, it's just...
Well, do you have personal habits that contribute to success? I mean, do you have a schedule? Is it that organized?
No.
Okay. So you don't want to create a job. You had a job.
Right. Yeah.
And so I think that is a risk, but okay. All right. So what internet tools are you using to help with your business? I mean, is there With Etsy, there's no software to list. You list just live in Etsy.
Correct.
How about with eBay? Are you using any of the InkFrogs or anything like that, or are you just using eBay's tools now?
I just use eBay's tools. I tried one of them, and it just didn't flow for me. So,
well, back in the day, it was great because eBay was difficult. Now eBay has caught up and made it so easy. I mean, they really have. I mean, I've seen people at an auction literally sitting there listing the item while they're sitting. You know, they just bought it. That's sitting next to them. They take a picture, boom, 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 they put it up for sale as they're sitting there, you know. And you just couldn't do that back in the day. So you really needed third party.
Did you see that one, Jason's, when he was on Thrift Hunters? Was it Thrift Hunters or was it another one that he did where he listed something before he was out of the store?
I think it was a shirt or something like that.
Yeah, and he sold when he was checking out.
It's crazy. Yeah, I love listening to him tell stories because you know they're true. And, you know, when he tells the stories about what he sells, I mean, it's the real deal. And none of the other shows are that way. And he's such a great guy. Are you listening to any podcasts or reading any books that you think would be helpful to people who are selling or who are looking for inspiration? In my mind, again, I think you're the perfect example of somebody who's, you know, working a job. You know, I always say this, is that with both husband and wife working and, you know, they're probably losing money working if they have their kids in daycare, because I know my kids pay a couple $1,000 a month for daycare now, which is just crazy to me. And the fact that they can come home and spend time. Do you have anything that you think that people would benefit from?
Well, I do listen to The Scavenger Life, and actually I just started listening to them regularly.
I agree. I love them.
Yeah. I always heard about them, and I listen to them every now and then, but only lately have I really started – because I do agree, like, we have a similar view on things, you know? And then just random people on YouTube I'll watch. I watch a lot of the UK ones because I like to see how they do it differently.
Yeah, it's interesting. On The Scavenger Life, you know, the thing that I appreciate about them is they're working towards something all the time. They always have a goal in mind, and that's what they work toward. That's their why. They're, you know, creating other income streams. But they use this tool of eBay to do that. And to me, that's just so smart. Instead of just going out on vacation with it, they're saying, no, we're working towards a future that will be a vending machine that will automatically pay them. And to me, that's a very cool story.
Yeah. We've done something similar with my income, where last year it was all about getting the kids their, like, after-school programs and summer camps. And this year we're going to take a trip to Washington and down into California driving off the money I'm making.
Oh, that's a very cool idea. So so it becomes really kind of a, you know, almost like a thermometer, like you see those the United Way campaign, right, when they have that and you're marking it off and all of a sudden, boom, it explodes when you hit the goal.
Exactly.
That's very rewarding, and, you know, it's got to be a good feeling for a marriage to be contributing. I mean, you know, as a man, that's very cool,
right?
To have your wife contribute, or vice versa. In today's day and age, it could be vice versa.
Yeah.
So, you know, the goal of this podcast is to help people move forward, right? So I'm always looking for a tip or trick to help people advance. Sounds to me like you're persevering pretty well, and that's how you advance. What would you suggest for somebody who's struggling, though? They can't get motivated. They can't get past that stuck point.
I would say, you know, get into a community that you like. There's quite a few out there, and, you know, they all have different vibes and feelings and the way they handle each other. But, I mean, for me, that's been a really big motivator, and I think it's the same for others.
So it's finding like-minded people that will pull you up when you're down, because let's face it, everybody has ups and downs. But if you can find somebody who can help inspire you when you're not feeling too inspired, all of a sudden, you know, you level off a lot at a much higher place.
Right. We had a lady in our group that she was really struggling with not selling a lot. And she posted, and we try to keep it really positive. So we actually talked about, do we want to let this go? But then the thread just went nuts with, you know, send me your shop and let's take a look. And, I mean, everybody was jumping on, you know, looking at her listings and giving her tips. And she went back. I mean, and that's the thing, too, being able to take the constructive criticism and not get your feelings hurt, you know, knowing that people are really trying to help you. And so she went back and she was just, you know, within the thread, oh my gosh, thank you guys so much. You know, really, it really turned her around and helped.
Love it. I think perspectively, that's going to be the thing I take away from this interview, is that perspective. You know, I just think that's so important. Okay, best way to get in touch with you. So we have the International League of Thrifters as a Facebook group, and I'll have a link for that. What's your YouTube channel?
Texas Gal Treasures.
Texas Gal Treasures. Mm-hmm. And if somebody had a question, they could reach out to you there or into your Facebook group.
Right. And I'm also, I have a Facebook page, Texas Gal Treasures, as well.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And I'll have links. So that's on YouTube and Facebook. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time. Again, you know, I've not found a lot of successful Etsy, and I don't want to make that our only focus here, but what's cool to me is that you're able to be successful on all three channels, well, including your antique booth, because of you're working at it, right? I mean, that's really what it is you putting the time into it and doing the work. And I assume Bonanza, if you gave it the same effort, you would have the same success as much as, well, I don't know how much traffic they get, but what you would get from there.
Yeah.
So that's very cool. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time. I wish you nothing but success, and just have a great night and just keep it up.
Thanks so much for having me.
Take care.
Yeah, I think that's another great one. And again, it's a perspective interview. I love perspective interviews because you really want to, if you're going to measure yourself against someone else, you want to sit back and look at it from their perspective. And that's what you got here. But now compare yourself from your perspective. If you're into this thing, this is a great one for you. If you're not into this thing, this is a great one because it reinforces that you're not into these things, right? That's pretty cool. So I've had a bunch of recommendations for people that I should be interviewing, and I really appreciate that. I've reached out to a bunch of them. I have some of them coming up, and I'm really excited about it because I might not have found out about it other than a listener recommending. If you want to recommend to me, it's steve@ecommercemomentum.com, and I would love to know what you think. You can reach out to me on Facebook, just message me. Although I did just find 100 messages hidden in the back of Facebook. Chris Green pointed out, hey, in Messenger, if you look back in here in privacy and blah, 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 all of a sudden I found I had 100 messages I never knew I had. So make sure you read up how to do that. Thanks for listening. ecommercemomentum.com. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.